A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them a parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So the father divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. The young man would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he went off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then the elder son became angry and refused to go in. But his father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life, was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. A few weeks ago on the news, I saw a human interest story about an African-American man who lives on the south side of Chicago who's a hot rod auto rebuilder. And for the past 20 years, this man named Alex Levesque has been driving around neighborhoods in his flashy, fancy hot rod pickup truck talking to gang members and recruiting them. Yeah, recruiting them to come and change their lives by building and restoring hot rod automobiles in a small warehouse on the south side of Chicago. Basically, he drives around these neighborhoods and he spends time with these young men who are at risk, spends time one-on-one talking with them about the issues that are going on in their lives. And one of Mr. Levesque's recruits is now an instructor. He is now teaching others to turn their lives around. I found this news story to be today's parable enfleshed. I can just imagine Jesus today saying, which of you, seeing young men lost to gangs, doesn't drive around in your flashy pickup truck talking to gang members and giving them an opportunity to fix their lives by fixing cars? And when they do come to fix cars, he rejoices, saying to the news media, rejoice with me, for this former gang member is now a hot rod builder. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one man who turns his back on gang life and violence than over 99 people who have never joined a gang. Well, this is really good news for the one rescued from being in a gang, but, well, what about the rest of us 99? Because I've never been in a gang. No violence or breaking the law, and maybe this is true for you too. So what about me? What about us? Where's the joy in heaven over me? I mean, I've been good. I've been on the straight and narrow. I mean, don't people like me bring any joy to heaven? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus answers that question in the third parable of the prodigal son, where the father says to the obedient elder son, you are always with me, and all that I have, all that is mine, is yours. And this means God's love and bringing joy to heaven and so forth. But today's parables aren't about the 99. It's about the delight, the urgent and pure joy of finding the one who is lost, that person who's not in community with the other 99 and with God. You know, I think Jesus told these parables off the cuff. The Pharisees and scribes were grumbling because they were so stunned and shocked by his behavior with people outside that circle of respectability. And so Jesus responds quickly with illustrations, these stories to show the need, the absolute urgent need for his outreach to sinners. Now, I don't think Jesus sat down and thought, well, would a shepherd really leave 99 sheep in the wilderness to go off to find one sheep? I wonder if that totally makes sense. No, I don't think that he puzzled out that little detail. His story was to make a quick point. I think if Jesus intended this parable to be some short story for the Reader's Digest, well, yes, there would have been some mention about the shepherd making some provisions for the safety of the 99. But still, it's the point of the parable that's important. For example, which busy parishioner having a child in need doesn't delegate her church duties to others and go off to help her child? And when her child is safe, emails her friends and says, rejoice with me, for my daughter now has a safe new home. Just so, I tell you, there will be even more relief and satisfaction with the angels of God over one person who turns their back on their sinful ways and turns towards God. those church duties, like the 99 sheep, are important. But when something like your child is in great need, that urgency becomes so intense and so magnified, like tunnel vision, that saving the one actually will bring the light at the end of the tunnel for all. And this is important. Jesus wasn't bringing in the tax collectors and the sinners instead of the Pharisees and the scribes, you know, to take their place, but in addition to them. The kingdom of God, or kingdom of God, isn't complete unless all of the family members are present. And all means all, not just those whom we like or we deem to be respectable or acceptable. The Pharisees and scribes in today's gospel story, they saw a huge chasm-like divide between themselves and those others, the tax collectors and the sinners. But don't we often do the same thing? You know, we wag our fingers at the latest politician on trial for some scandal, or we shake our heads in disgust at the criminal activity that's in our midst, and we can easily fall into an us and them type mentality. But, you know, a lot of those politicians are Roman Catholic. Or even if they're not specifically in our denomination, very often they're Christian. So this isn't just an us and them issue, but it's an us and us issue. Think about, in the United States, how often we see what we call black-on-black crime. And for many of us, this really is an us versus us issue. It's something that needs to be addressed. It needs to be fixed because it's hurting the larger black community, not to mention all of us who form the human community. And so we're called. We are commissioned by Christ to go forth and bring our lost sisters and brothers back into the loving embrace of community. Like Alex Levesque, the man featured in the news story, we too are called to recruit others. We're called to recruit others in the name of Christ so that they can experience the love of Christ. This isn't an us and them finger-wagging experience. No, no, no. It's an us and us activity done in love and gratitude, knowing that we're often the one rather than the 99. Think about it. Think about all the love we experience daily from our family and friends, but most especially from God, who nourishes us here in word and in sacrament and through one another. What could be better than that? And we know that our sisters and brothers who are embroiled in illegal or immoral or self-serving actions are missing out on that sweet nectar of God's gracious love. So who is it that God needs us to rescue from empty, barren lives and bring them home to a loving environment where they can experience the refreshing love of God? Who does God need? God need us to love back to life? Is it someone in our family or in our Dominican community? At work? Or maybe a total stranger in our neighborhood or someone standing in front of us at the grocery store? Today, Christ calls us to be his parable. Be his parable of love to the lost, of light to those in darkness. Be Christ's parable of hope to those who are hopeless, of friendship to the isolated. Be Christ's parable of cheer to the depressed, of peace to those who think violence is the answer. Who knows? Maybe just then, we'll actually hear the angels celebrating.